broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
As we celebrate St. Francis Xavier Cabrini on this 13th of November, a Monday morning, we give glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
We start our day and our work week with giving glory to God. That's the way it ought to be, and that's what Morning Glory is about on EWTN. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Buenos dias. You know what? Send in what language you want me to say good morning in, and I'll give it a shot. That was Spanish. Buenos dias.
All right. Lisa Murphy speaks Canadian English. She is our producer. And Father Thomas Petrie from the Dominican House of Studies leads us in prayer.
On this memorial of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, we pray for her intercession as we say, God, our Father, you called Francis Xavier Cabrini from Italy to serve the immigrants of America. By her example, teach us concern for the stranger, the sick, and the frustrated. By her prayers, help us to see Christ in all the men and women we meet. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And now Gloria, in Spanish, will give us Mother's wisdom.
Go for
Do
that
personalidad. No, you personally are God's beloved, the apple of his eye.
Wow. Oh, that's good to know.
Yes, sweet.
That is really good to know on a Monday.
Sweet, yes.
More than 320 people are confirmed dead after a powerful 7.3 magnitude earthquake strikes along the Iraq-Iran border. Hospital beds were moved outside, and Iranian armed forces are setting up field hospitals in the border region. The quake felt more than 150 miles away in Baghdad, the capital of Iraq. Screaming shoppers flee Minnesota's Mall of America after two people are stabbed inside a men's dressing room at a Macy's department store Sunday evening. Local police chief Jeff Potts says it appears the suspect stabbed a man who caught him trying to steal his personal property from a dressing room.
During the confrontation, a second victim was stabbed, but at that time they were able to disarm the suspect, and our officers arrived really shortly after that.
Police say the suspect is in custody. The stabbing victims, apparently related, are recovering at a nearby hospital. Sunday services held for the first time at the First Baptist Church of Southern and Spring since last week's mass shooting left 26 people dead and many more injured. The church provided a video of Pastor Frank Pomeroy speaking about the personal impact of that mass shooting.
I know everyone who gave their life that day, some of which were my best friends, one my daughter. And I guarantee you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, they are dancing with Jesus today, and they would tell you where they are. Keep on fighting.
Pastor Pomeroy wants to demolish that church building, saying it's too stark a reminder of the murders. A food pantry near the church reopened over the weekend where they're organizing a blood drive for the community. San Antonio Catholic Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Cia talks about the need for healing in the entire faith community.
Prayer moves hearts and change minds and helps us to relate better with each other. So prayer. And then also to put a little bit of pressure of how we need to send more messages of peace, care, understanding, hope, instead of messages of violence, division, and causing harm or hurt.
And Pope Francis challenges global leaders to create a world without nuclear weapons. He addressed a nuclear disarmament conference organized by the Vatican.
Le armi di distruzione di massa, in particolare
quelle atomiche. EWTN News Nightly correspondent Juliet Lindley covered the conference.
This is the first major international gathering since July of this year, when 122 countries approved a new UN treaty calling for the complete elimination of nuclear weapons. Now, the point here is that none of the nuclear powers, no NATO member countries, signed the accord because they said it was unrealistic given the current state of affairs.
And South Korean police and intelligence officials question an American arrested near the border with North Korea. The 58-year-old from Louisiana was reportedly caught intruding on the civilian control line just below the demilitarized zone separating North and South. Investigators said he told them he was trying to enter the communist North for political reasons.
You know, I know the Cajun Navy tries to get everywhere to help out, but dude, this was not the spot. This was not the spot to go over.
Was Father Aquinas at the house this
yeah,
morning?
Right.
Yes, he is there. He is safe.
So it is not him. Plus, he's not 58 yet. So in case people wonder.
Far from it.
Yeah.
On the sidelines of this weekend's economic summit in the Philippines, President Trump meets with the leaders of Australia and Japan about the nuclear threat from North Korea. Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull vows to work with the U.S. to maintain peace and stability in the region.
We're working very closely together. We've got the same values and the same focus on ensuring that the North Korean regime comes to its senses and stops its reckless provocation of and threats of conflict in our region.
On his last stop on a marathon five-nation Asian trip, President Trump addresses ASEAN members. The president says the U.S. is seeking economic partnerships with the nations in the region, touting America's economic growth this past year.
We have the lowest unemployment in 17 years. The value of stocks has risen $5.5 trillion. And companies are moving into the United States. A lot of companies are moving. They're moving back.
President Rodrigo Duterte of the Philippines and President Trump shook hands twice, exchanging pleasantries before the leaders posed for a group photo and then dinner. Trump sat next to Duterte at the gala, and Duterte offered a toast.
To you, the unity, centrality, solidarity, and continued success of ASEAN, to ASEAN's achievement over the last 50 years, and the success of the 31st ASEAN Summit related.
Presidents Trump and Duterte briefly discussed trade, ISIS, and human rights in the context of the Philippines' fight against illegal drugs. Duterte's government is accused of thousands of extrajudicial killings as part of his aggressive crackdown on drug dealers and users. Prosecutors of the Philippines claim government militiamen murdered an Italian priest and two army commanders may have known about the murder in advance. The findings overturn an earlier report blaming the attack on two civilians. Father Fausto Tentorio was leading campaigns against mining operations in Manila when he was shot and killed in 2011. Mm. Speaking to a crowd in St. Peter's Square for his Sunday Angelus address, Pope Francis encourages us not to wait to reflect on our lives, but to ask ourselves, if this was my last day on earth, am I prepared? Am I cooperating with God's grace? In a video message released this weekend, the Pope says the future of the church and the world is dependent on the good of the family. The family born of marriage creates fruitful bonds which reveal themselves to be the most effective antidote against the individualism that currently runs rampant. The video message was sent to participants of the International Symposium on Amoris Laetitiae, organized by the Italian bishops. It is being held in Rome. No comment on that, anybody?
No, I'm sorry.
It is. Marriage is it. You know, that's gonna help. So, yeah, I'd have to agree.
All right, in sports, just ahead of Elisa's forecast, Tom Brady completes a six-yard pass to James White for a touchdown, easily beating the Denver Broncos 41-16.
Brady in the backfield to the quarterback's left hip. Tom from the gun. Tom takes the snap. Backpedals, shuffles left, throws it left, White with a catch into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Brady still has it. And he probably is using a ball that's completely inflated. All right.
So my friends up in New England are not going to be happy with that.
Verdict's still out on that.
Wow.
This is a big rivalry. The Green Bay Packers beat Da Bears 23-16. Minnesota over the Washington Redskins 38-30. The Saints beat the Bills 47-10. And Tennessee over the Cincinnati Bengals 24-20. At 9 after the hour, here's Elisa with your Monday forecast.
Morning glory weather.
Rain in the northeast and across the Midwest as we head into your Monday. In Grand Rapids, expect clouds with temps hitting 41 today for those tuning in on Holy Family Radio. A high of 40 with rain in Portland, Maine for those on the Presence Radio Network this morning. And here in our nation's capital for your Monday, a partly cloudy morning and clouds expected all day long with a high of 52 for those joining us on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
It's 10 after. We're in the 32nd week in Ordinary Time, and if Father Petri seems really charged up today, it's because the vocation weekend at the Dominican House of Studies drew just a whole crowd of young, prospective Dominicans.
We have about four of these a year at the Dominican House of Studies for men discerning a vocation to the Dominican Order, to our province, the province of St. Joseph. And we had about 27 men who spent the weekend with us this weekend, which, of course, you know, amplifies and adds to the number of mouths to feed, because there's already 80 men living at the Dominican House of Studies. So our people working at the kitchen are like, again, we're having another one? And we're like, yes, we're going to have another one, because we get so many great vocations.
And the food has to be good.
And food has to be good. At least let's make a good impression, okay?
Right. Well, you know, speaking of vocations, I saw a tweet out there, and I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, I never really, you hear about consecrated virgins, you hear about religious sisters. But you never hear, like, at least put this way, that there's a vocation called consecrated lay men. And so what is that?
It's important to note that any religious, whether it's a religious sister, whether it's a religious priest, whether it's a religious brother, are consecrated people in the church's code of canon law. So I am a consecrated man. Now, I'm a consecrated cleric, because I'm also have the sacrament of orders. I'm a priest. But, so, you know, the Dominican Order, we have cooperator brothers who are consecrated men, laymen, essentially.
I see.
Now, some places like Opus Dei, for instance, has a sort of sense of consecrated laymen and consecrated laywomen who live in the world, so they don't wear identifying garb. Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk about a consecrated virgin, of course, you're not only talking about religious sisters, but there is a unique vocation called consecrated virgins who are women living in the world who are working with their local bishop.
Yep.
And are take vows of virginity for the rest of their lives. There is not an equivalent of that for men.
I
and
know too.
Consecration is different than ordination.
Absolutely, yeah. This is something that's hard for people to understand, that ordination is a sacrament. You know, so it empowers the man to act in persona Christi in the sacraments. Consecration is a vowed life, giving oneself over to God entirely, completely, according to the religious counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience.
So let me ask you something else. I saw a vocation poster, and everybody was ridiculing it, because they said, one of these vocations is for you. And it had a religious sister, it had a priest, it had a married couple, and then it had a picture of a man that said single life.
Right.
And people are like, one of these things is not like the other.
Right. So this is a point of tension in the church, whether the single life is its own vocation. Mm-hmm. And I would say the single life, I think when we read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, if there is such a thing as a single life, a person who's called to live, and there are people who are called to be single for their lives, and there are all sorts of reasons why that might be, it really is not its own thing. It's a living out the fullness of the sacrament of baptism in the world, you know, as a person who gives their life and sort of without giving it to a particular person or in the structures of religious life.
So it's not a vocation like marriage or priesthood. Or
I think that's right. But people can still feel because they have, I mean, I think about people, for instance, with same-sex attraction.
Sure.
They might not be able to be married, and they might not feel called to a religious life, but they're called to live a sort of single, chaste life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the idea that they are single does give them opportunities to serve others in a way that they may not be able to if they were married.
That's
or
right.
Part of a religious congregation.
That's right. So it can be a sort of way of fulfilling baptismal vocation.
Yeah. I've heard of people who are actual hermits, like make to live that way and make some kind of promise. I guess they might fall into the consecrated.
Yeah, they're consecrated as well. And there's different ways that can happen. Sometimes through, Capuchins or Cistercians are in some ways hermits. You know, I'm thinking of different religious groups where they actually live together, but they actually live in a hermetical way. But there are, in fact, diocesan hermits. Like, I know a priest in Virginia who is, in fact, a hermit. He has a hermitage, you know, and the bishop has given him permission to be a hermit.
Amazing. All these beautiful, wonderful ways that people can live their vocation and serve the Lord.
You know, just so how many of those guys do you think might actually join the Dominican Order?
Well, we can talk to the vocation director, but we've been very blessed with vocations these last several years. We have 14 novices now in Cincinnati.
Great.
And
wow.
So we'll probably get a couple of them at least.
You all say no sometimes, though, I'm sure.
Oh, of course. Oh, well, yeah.
If you're not called.
That's right.
If you're not called, you say no.
We have a very...
No, I mean, they tell people no.
Yeah, we have a very selective process. They have to go through various interviews, even psychological
testing. You send them off to the Jesuits then.
That's right.
All right. Go ahead, Gloria.
That's exactly right.
Well.
I'm glad you said that, Brian.
No commentito.
That was a joke.
I'm going to be talking with Bradley Hahn, CEO of Solidarity Health Share, next on Morning Glory. Yes, it was a joke. La ha 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 ha.
Catholic from the start. Because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory. For a complete list of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network AM and FM stations across America, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. The list is updated regularly, so visit often. Again, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. Also at EWTN.com, you'll find out how to listen to us on the web, on shortwave, and in some countries on satellite. You'll find it all on EWTN.com.
Debbie Giorgiani.
I'm a cradle Catholic, went to Catholic school, and I never really wandered from the faith. In fact, after having a taste of working in corporate America, I was literally pulled toward a more meaningful work. I began serving in ministry when I was just 21 years old, and I've never looked back since. I was not fulfilled working in a job where I couldn't talk about Jesus. I am most complete when the topic of conversation is God.
Take two with Jerry and Debbie, Monday through Saturday, noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
CNA is the only fast, reliable, and free Catholic news source that brings blogs, stories, and opinions to your fingertips. The latest Catholic news is at CatholicNewsAgency.com, an online service from EWTN News.
Hello, this is Bishop Ronald Gaynor of the Diocese of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
This is Michael Warsaw, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of EWTN.
This is Father Mitch Pacwa. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
And good morning. It's Monday, November 13th, 2017. We're coming to you live from Guadalupe Studios in Washington, D.C. I'm Gloria Purvis. My co-host is Brian Patrick. Our producer is Elisa Murphy. And our godly counsel is Father Thomas Petrie. He's the dean of the Dominican House of Studies right here in D.C. So we're being joined by Bradley Hahn. He's the CEO of Solidarity HealthShare. Good morning, Bradley.
Good morning, Gloria.
So I'm wondering what your reaction was to the basically allowing religious exemptions and accommodations under the Affordable Care Act. What was your reaction when you heard the news?
Well, I think it's a good first start, number one. And so it's just a rule change. And so if you read the contraception mandate under the Obama administration and compare that to the contraception mandate now under the Trump administration, the arguments setting up the final conclusion are almost exactly the same. The difference is the conclusion. And so my concern is that when the next president comes in, who may be more on the Obama side on the contraception mandate, that rule is going to be reversed again. And so I encourage everyone, and even I was there in D.C. last week trying to encourage senators and congressmen that we need more of a permanent solution, you know, like with a legislative action in Congress. That was my first initial reaction. And my second initial reaction is that it doesn't go far enough because, you know, it's still going to force employers to for what I call the Friday the 13th mandate, which deals with gender issues.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're still forced to pay for gender reassignment issues. So that's a big thing, how it's going to affect the employer. But still, the individual mandate, you know, the contraception mandate still is forced upon us individuals. So there still isn't a solution out there right now for the individual mandate. And that's where Solidarity HealthShare had to come in to be that solution.
So, you know, you do raise some important points that it could just become a political football, depending on who is in the White House. And then it was making me think the importance of having whoever Tom Price's replacement is for HHS needs to be strongly pro-life and also understand the importance and difference between being male and female. So how might, when you said you wanted people, try to encourage people to get involved, you mean contacting our senators and our representatives? What are you meaning here?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest step still. And that's something that I think we can kind of rest a little bit, saying, oh, look what happened here at Health and Human Services, the interim final rule. But to me, that's just a temporary solution. And so we still need to be active and fight and protest our government forcing us to violate our conscience.
Well, let me ask you, when you were talking with people on the Hill, what kind of reaction did you receive? Were people sort of like, you know, you've got some relief in place, quit your belly aching? Or people were like, oh, you've got some good points, we need to look into this? Or was it just a polite, okay, we hear you? I mean, what did you feel was the response?
Well, I think it was the first is the politeness. Mm. But then the second response was, you know, why are you concerned about this? And that's what really gave me really great concern was, you know, of course, I'm here to argue and try to protect our religious liberty here as Catholics. And to me, it's repulsive that I have to go and ask my federal government not to violate my conscience.
Well, that's a good point. And you say, from what I understand, 28 states still mandate contraceptive coverage. So while the at the federal level, you have relief, what's happening on the state level here?
We're still seeing the state government still more and more entrenched in that. And so that's a great point, is even though we're still arguing at the federal level, we still have to make those same arguments at the state levels.
Bradley, this is Father Thomas Petrie. I know you're the CEO of Solidarity Health Share. We've had, you know, your organization on before on Morning Glory. What is Solidarity Health Share, and how does it help keep people's conscience in line with a lot of these rules and what it means to practice and have health insurance?
Yeah, Father. Well, as a member of Solidarity Health Share, we're exempt from the fines or even the burdens under the Affordable Care Act.
Okay.
So us as like-minded Christians, we can come together and decide what's going to be shareable as a medical expense under Solidarity Health Share. And so, pursuant to our member guidelines, we're always seeking to be faithful to the church. So our members never have to worry about paying for things we find morally objectionable, like contraception, abortifacient drugs, and the such.
I'm just wondering about the economics of that. So people pay a monthly fee, I presume, sort of like a premium for health insurance. And I mean, is it just a pool? Is it invested? How does this work financially for Solidarity Health Share, the people who invest in it, and and the people who need to use its services?
Yeah, well, Solidarity Health Share is not insurance, and so we basically help facilitate and act as a conduit for our members' money.
I see.
So I'll give you an example. My family, we pay $449 per month, and we have a $1,500 annual unshared amount. That's kind of our first money that my family's responsible for out-of-pocket medical expenses. But our goal is just solidarity as leadership team of Solidarity. We simply just help facilitate the sharing of our members' medical expenses. So once a member submits a medical expense, the first thing we do is we vet it through our computer system to make sure it's a fair and reasonable price, pursuant to some fast reimbursement and some Medicare reimbursement standards. And the second thing, once it is an eligible a medical expense, then we just help facilitate the sharing amongst our membership.
I see.
So is it just the catastrophic medical expenses, or can you send in for, like, if you're taking your child to the dentist, you can send in your dental bill, or is it just a catastrophic?
If the dental bill was from some type of, medical emergency, that would be a shareable expense.
Mm.
But, my family, we have to, I had bronchitis a couple of months, so that was a shareable expense.
I see.
The other expense I had for my family, my teenage son has a little bit of face acne issue, so that's considered an expense as well. So it's very typical of what you would traditionally see shared, and so that's what we're trying to do, is trying to be a solution to the middle class.
Nice.
And that's what's really been what we're trying to do, is help penetrate that whole third-party payer system, where you don't play that game where the provider marks up their medical expenses just to see what sticks, see which they get paid. We're just asking for fair and reasonable prices up front. And that penetration of the third-party payer system by our membership and by Solidarity, we're getting some incredible discounts. So I'll give you an example. We just had one of our members had a heart attack, and thanks be to God, he's doing great today. But the bill submitted to us was $174,000.
Wow. Mm.
Well, we got that discounted down to $17,000.
Wow.
Because we vetted those medical expenses at the emergency room to fair and reasonable prices.
Good for you.
In that local area.
That's amazing.
That's wonderful news.
Yeah.
And it's I'm sure your health share members were happy about that too, that you're also good stewards of their money. And if you're interested in finding out more about Solidarity Health Share, you can visit them online at solidarityhealthshare.org. Bradley Hahn, CEO of Solidarity Health Share, thank you so much for calling into Morning Glory.
Yes, thank you, Gloria.
All right, take care.
What an interesting conversation. 24 after the hour now, and Father's going to tell us more about Mother Cabrini in a moment. Let's first go to Elisa Murphy, our producer, for some Monday Catholic chatter.
A special shout-out this morning to Patrick and Sonia Docherty, who listen every morning in Providence, Rhode Island.
Nice.
And I learned about them because my dad actually sat next to them at a Respect Life dinner over the weekend at the cathedral there in Providence, Father.
It's a beautiful cathedral.
And we've also heard from Lewis this morning regarding the priesthood. And he is wondering, he loves our Dominicans on our show, and he himself may be considering, who should he contact?
He should contact our vocation director, Father Benedict Kroll, and you can go to opeast.org. opeast.org.
Yeah. Wonderful. You'll love Father Benedict. I got to know him when he was at St. Gertrude.
Yeah, he's an
nice
amazing
guy.
Priest.
Tall? Yep. Tall, oh, too. Yeah. Tall dude.
So 25 after, and when my mom was living with the Little Sisters in Denver, there was a beautiful Mother Cabrini shrine in the foothills of the Rockies that overlooked Denver. I remember taking her up there, Father.
Mother Frances Xavier Cabrini, she's a fascinating story. Born in 1850, the youngest of 13 children, she was born 2 months premature. In 1850. Can you imagine being born 2 months premature in 1850? Yeah.
Wow.
And so she was, for most of her life, very fragile and had a delicate state of health. She was always very devoted to God. She wanted to join the Daughters of the Sacred Heart when she was around 18 or so, but she was rejected because she was in such poor health. So she ended up teaching at an orphanage and eventually found her way to New York because she wanted to start a religious order. The Pope, she wanted to go to China. The Pope told her she needed to go to the United States, and she founded the Daughters of the Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Mm. Here's the thing about Mother Cabrini. We often think about saints as sort of living in a different world than you and I live in, that they're always living, seeing the face of God almost, like they're always prayerful. And she was certainly that. But Mother Cabrini was also incredibly resourceful, had a unique administrative skill. We don't think of saints as administrators, but she was an administrator. As an academic administrator, someone who has to do this, I always think, I'm always grateful to hear that there are saints who have the same kind of skill set. In 35 years, her new religious order founded 67 institutions, orphanages,
wow,
schools, hospitals. She was just an entirely resourceful person. And she cared for the immigrant, the sick, the suffering, the frustrated. You know, as we sort of talk about all of these issues as Americans, and we're always thinking about what the government should do and what the government shouldn't do, always remember that whatever our position is on that does not take away our own responsibility to care for the stranger. And what you see in the saints like Mother Cabrini, what you see in Catholic charity and Christian charity, is that no government in the world can do what the church has done for the poor, for the sick, for the frustrated, for the orphan, for the immigrant. No government can do it. It has to be a person to person. And that's why we need saints. That's why we need Christians who take their baptismal call to bring the light of Christ to the world seriously. We need to be person to person. And in that way, there's no bureaucracy. There's no red tape. You're not a number. You're a child of God.
Let us go to Mother Cabrini as an intercessor for those issues of immigration. Mother Cabrini, Saint Mother Cabrini, pray for us.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Byron with First Liberty will join us to talk about that case of the Bladensburg World War I Veterans Memorial. And we have other news next on Morning Glory.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
EWTN News Nightly with Lauren Ashburn.
As a journalist, I held people accountable, and that's what I want to do here. I want to hold government, politicians, leaders, moral leaders accountable for the actions that they take, and to do it in a way that gives our Catholic audience something new that they would not find anywhere else.
EWTN News Nightly with Lauren Ashburn, weekdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Teresa Tomeo.
Every time I go to Mass and see my husband serving on the altar as a deacon, it hits me how, with God, all things are possible. I mean, there is no way that we should be still married, number one, based on all the problems we had. But number two, the fact that I'm in Catholic media and my husband is a deacon is simply a testimony to the power of God and the teachings of the church that saved our marriage and, more importantly, our souls.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Advocate. An advocate is one who builds you up. He's got your back, and he'll go to bat for you. The opposite of an advocate is an accuser. Revelation calls the devil the accuser. An accuser deflates you and rips you down. You are in the midst of an epic spiritual battle between the advocate and the accuser, and the battlefront is your mind. Have you been listening to the accuser who tells you you're broken and can't be fixed? Your marriage isn't worth fighting for. You don't matter. The whole story of your life is defined by the worst page. The advocate wants you to face today with the confidence and security that comes from knowing you're a beloved child of God, a God who has your best interest in mind and who has destined you for eternal glory. Which voice will you listen to? Whose side are you going to be on today? This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
It is half past the hour, Monday, the 13th of November, and we thank the Guadalupe Radio Network for hosting Morning Glory at its WMET Washington affiliate station overlooking the United States Capitol. Good to have you with us today. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning. Buenos dias.
Our producer is Elisa Murphy, and our godly counsel, Father Thomas Petrie, leads us in prayer.
On this feast of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, we pray for her intercession. God our Father, you called Francis Xavier Cabrini from Italy to serve the immigrants of America. By her example, teach us concern for the stranger, the sick, and the frustrated. By her prayers, help us to see Christ in all the men and women we meet. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And Gloria takes us to the movies and her music.
Yeah, I was so happy to go. Guadalupe, right here, our local radio station here in D.C., had a free screening of this movie, The Star. And I was so happy that it was a story about Jesus, about Christmas, that was fun for the whole family. So I'll talk about that more during my musing.
And in the news at 31 after the hour, speaking to the U.S. bishops gathered for Sunday's opening mass of their plenary assembly, the Vatican Secretary of State encourages them to continue their prophetic witness in the face of challenges facing the United States of America. Reflecting on Sunday's first reading from the Book of Wisdom, Cardinal Pietro Parolin says, "This divine wisdom is a gift of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to serve God by doing His will." The U.S. bishops are gathered in Baltimore for their fall assembly this week. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops turns 100 this year. It was founded in 1917 as the National Catholic War Council. Dr. Matthew Bunsen joins us with more tomorrow from that conference. Pope Francis challenges global leaders to create a world without nuclear weapons.
Le armi di distruzione di massa.
The Holy Father addressing a nuclear disarmament conference organized by the Vatican, and EWTN News Nightly correspondent Juliet Lindley covered the conference.
This is the first major international gathering since July of this year, when 122 countries approved a new UN treaty calling for the complete elimination of nuclear weapons. Now, the point here is that none of the nuclear powers, no NATO member countries, signed the accord because they said it was unrealistic given the current state of affairs.
Juliet Lindley in Rome. Well, this week we remembered our nation's veterans, and there was a special ceremony at the Bladensburg Cross World War I Veterans Memorial. We have attorney Roger Byron with us from First Liberty, who can tell us about that commemoration on over the weekend and also talk about the issue that surrounds this memorial. Roger, good to have you with us.
Good morning.
As we remember our nation's veterans, there are really no longer World War I veterans, but we remember living and dead veterans on Veterans Day, right?
Yes, we do. And with the Bladensburg World War I Veterans Memorial, it's no surprise that patriotic veterans events occur there. I mean, this memorial was built as a veterans memorial 100 years ago by returning World War I veterans to honor 49 of their comrades that fell in a foreign field. It's only ever been used as a veterans memorial, and it's always been regarded by the community as a veterans memorial. In fact, local American Legion posts have always used it as a place to come and remember and commemorate the fallen.
So it was built on private land, and through a series of events is now on public land. Is that correct?
That's right. It was actually built on land. It was owned by the local American Legion post. It was built at a terminus at one end of a national highway, what was then known as the National Defense Highway. Both the highway and the memorial groundbreaking occurred on the same day because they were both World War I memorials. And then as the roadways grew up and grew busier, the memorial ended up in a median of a highway, and the state determined for traffic safety reasons that it was no longer viable to have it on private land. So it ended up in government ownership because of traffic reasons.
So there are challenges to this cross because I guess it is a cross. What is the latest in the First Liberty's defense of keeping that monument?
Yeah, like what you say, the humanist group sued the Maryland National Capitol Park and Planning Commission back in 2014. The commission is the government body that owns the ground on which the memorial stands. And the American Legion, with a legal interest in the memorial, and certainly we use it quite a bit, intervened as defendants in the matter, and we won the court case at the district court. And the humanist organization appealed it to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. That's the federal court of appeals that handles federal appeals in Maryland. And two judges out of three ruled it unconstitutional. And now both the American Legion and the commission have submitted a petition to the Fourth Circuit, a request that the Fourth Circuit do away with the three-judge panel's decision and that the entire panel of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, all the judges on the Fourth Circuit, rehear the case and issue a new ruling.
I have to say, I drive by that cross all the time, and I cannot imagine it not being there. I mean, is that the idea they actually want it completely removed, or I'm just thinking of how empty that whole space would be.
Yeah, I can tell you one of the judges during oral argument actually said, why don't we just cut the arms off the thing?
Oh, my.
Yeah. Wow. In fact, the reasoning behind the opinion appears to be that a cross shape on government land is presumptively unlawful. And the bigger the cross shape, the greater the presumption that it's unlawful.
Wow.
Which, I mean, that is not the law. It's never been the law.
We're
confident that the other judges on the Fourth Circuit will see the error in the opinion, and we'll set it aside and give us another hearing.
Well, I hope you'll give us another update when that happens. Roger Byron with First Liberty, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Catholic Charities in California offering financial incentives to help secure housing for people left homeless by the wildfires, offering $500 for renting an extra room or home to people displaced by the fires. Dozens remain homeless after fire-related emergency shelters closed. Hundreds of people marched Sunday in Hollywood for the hashtag MeToo rally. The march in support of victims of sexual assault and harassment is named after a social media campaign encouraging victims to share their stories. Tirana Burke founded the campaign.
People can't deny it. Like, these are not just hashtags. These are people. Every one of those Me Too hashtags is a story, and people are here to represent their stories in person. People need to see the faces.
Actor Kevin Spacey, now subject of a criminal investigation, prosecutors plan to meet with the teen after his mother, a former Boston news anchor, went public with the actor's alleged sexual exploitation. At least 15 men are now accusing Spacey of sexual misconduct of some kind. Alabama U.S. Senate candidate Roy Moore tells supporters he is in the midst of a spiritual battle with people trying to silence him. Moore refuses to back down against mounting pressure to drop out of the Senate race. He is suing the Washington Post for reporting that when he was 32 years old, he initiated sexual activity with a 14-year-old. The article details accounts that Moore allegedly pursued three other teenaged girls. And House Ways and Means Committee Chair Kevin Brady tells Fox News Sunday he's confident the House will not agree to the Senate's tax reform proposal to eliminate the deduction for property taxes.
We want people to keep more of what they earn, regardless of whether wherever they live, including in these high tax states. That's why we keep the home mortgage deduction. We keep the charitable deduction. We restore $10,000 of the property tax deduction, which is twice the national average.
Property taxes among the biggest differences between the House and Senate versions of the reform bill that President Trump says he wants to sign before Christmas. Sandra Bullock will star as the late-term abortion activist Wendy Davis in a new movie. She was best known for filibustering legislation in the Texas state legislature that would have banned late-term abortion. She eventually ran for governor and was trounced by pro-life governor Greg Abbott.
I have to say that side, the pro-abortion side, is doing a real good job of their myth-making of making themselves seem like heroes. And it just gets on my nerves because I'm wondering 15, 20 years from now, if people look at this Wendy Davis movie, or is it now just more indoctrination that this is what heroism or heroines look like? And they don't look like that. They don't talk like that. So we need to get some money into our own stuff.
Yeah, 21 till here. Sports ahead of the forecast and Morning Glory and Musings. Miami back at number 2 in the AP College football poll. The ranking, the best ranking since 2003. The undefeated Hurricanes jump 5 spots after routing Notre Dame Saturday. Alabama remains number 1. Here's Elisa now with your Monday forecast.
Morning Glory weather.
Sun in Houston for your Monday. A high of 88 today for those who know the Guadalupe Radio Network. Mild temps in the Pacific Northwest. Sacred Heart Radio listeners in Seattle expect rain with a high of 51 today. And a cloudy day for our Redeemer Radio family listening in Fort Wayne. Temps in the mid-40s today.
It's 22, Gloria.
Well, I just want to say, hopefully, if you all live in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, and that includes Boston, Massachusetts, you'll come out this Saturday and see me. I'm going to be speaking at an event for the diocese in Manchester. And you can register for that event at catholicnh.org/public square. And also, if you live in Chicago, you can head out to the National Shrine of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini and get an indulgence if you go to Mass today, because today is a memorial. And if you go to a memorial church named after the saint that we're celebrating, an indulgence can be rewarded to you under the usual conditions. But anyway, I remember earlier this year they had the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast, and at the prayer breakfast they did a preview of this movie, The Star. And Patricia Heaton is heavily involved in the movie, and she was talking about it, and they showed a little trailer. And lo and behold, this past weekend I had the chance to go see it, and I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised. I was pleasantly surprised because it was an actual movie that the whole family could go see and enjoy, and it didn't have any of these little innuendo jokes just for the adults, if you know what I mean. It was just all good, clean movie going. And my daughter was on the edge of her seat. You know, at some parts they had the tension was there, they had the humor, and they have some pretty big heavy hitters in this movie. They have Oprah Winfrey, Tyler Perry, Tracy Morgan, Christopher Plummer, Christian Chenoweth, Patricia Heaton, of course, Ving Rhames from Mission Impossible fame, Kelly Clarkson, and Steven Yeun plays the lead, Bo the Donkey. And the Mary and Joseph were very entertaining. It was not heretical in the sense that Mary knew her mission. They showed the Annunciation in the very beginning of the movie, and it was interesting to see her talk with Joseph about it, and then to see how the animals are reacting to Mary and, you know, the danger that's involved. But they also had an interesting point of, you know, sinners being set free. I'm not going to give it away, but it was really beautiful how you realize, yes, he came to set the sinners free. And you see that in the movie, and they do it in a very interesting way. And I have to admit, I liked it, and I plan to go see it when it comes out November 17th. And I plan to invite a lot of friends and their children and say, this is something we can enjoy all together as a family, as families and friends, and just good, clean fun. And it reminds us of what we're about to celebrate December 25th. And yeah, and also very pro-life, too, because you're so excited about the baby in the womb and protecting that child. So a lot of good messages wrapped up in this movie. And I wish we could have many, many, many more movies like this that are family friendly and also have an actual religious message that isn't overbearing.
I'm glad to hear that the movie really focuses on the fact that the Blessed Mother knew.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as we move into the Christmas season, we move into that time of year when we hear these Christmas hymns or Christmas carols being sung, and there's that new modern one that was written back in the 1980s by a Baptist, Mark Lowry, who I generally like his comedy. I like a lot of his music, but he wrote that. It's become rather a hit now, the Mary Did You Know song.
Okay.
You know, and you know, Mary Did You Know That Your Baby Boy Would One Day Walk on Water. And he goes, it's basically, he wrote it for a church play, and it has a series of questions to the Blessed Mother. Did you know that he would give sight to the blind? Did you know that he is the Lord of all creation? Did you know that one day he would rule the nations, that he's the perfect land? Did you know that the child you're holding is the great I Am? And the answer, of course, is yes.
Yes.
She knew. And how, she knew because the angel told her.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? They do play that song in the movie, but it's way after the angel has told her. So yeah, I was kind of cringing, but I was
Gloria
like, well, the song kind of answers it. Yes.
The angel told her. The angel told Joseph. Zechariah and Elizabeth knew.
Yeah.
The Old Testament prophets knew. It was common knowledge that this was known. It was so every time I hear that song, I sort of cringe. And I have to change the channel. And my students from Providence College, when I was teaching there, and even the Dominican Student Brothers, they know that this. I have a visceral reaction to this song. If you just want to, as you can tell by me right now, you just have to bring it up. And I'm just like, no, she do. She
I've
do.
Heard it
it's
at
a
mass.
Silly song. She do. Oh,
I've heard
I don't want to hear
mass.
That. I don't
yes.
want to hear that.
I'll just shout out, yes, she knew next time. I'll just sing, yes, she knew.
Yes, and then if there's any confusion about that, you can forward them to me. I would be happy to explain the answer to that question.
All right, Father, give us a preview of your next conversation.
Well, we have the journalist Sohrab Ahmari. He's going to be talking to us about the fate of European culture given the reality of euthanasia on that continent. He'll be with us next on Morning Glory.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
Colleen Kelly Mast.
I cannot even count the number of times that God has clearly shown me his power and love when I continue to say yes to him. He provides for our needs. Even standing at the funeral home during the wake of my late son, the Holy Spirit kept singing in my head, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." I didn't feel very strong at the time, but I knew that God was holding me close.
Mast Appeal with Colleen Kelly Mast. Saturday, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The only thing new about the heresies in the church and the schisms in the church today is it's mixed with satanic worship. We in the church have gone from enneagrams to centering prayer to solstice worship to goddesses. And you buy it as something new.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
As an EWTN media missionary, your task is to prayerfully take EWTN to your parish and community through the print and electronic media we provide. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today and join us in sharing the eternal word with the world.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell, host of the Sunrise Morning Show.
This is John Martinoni, host of EWTN Open Line Monday.
Hi, this is Barbara McWiggin. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory at EWTN.com.
You'll hear all about Saturday's beatification of Father Solanus Casey on Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo starting at 9 o'clock Eastern here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Thanks for starting your Monday, this feast of St. Francis Cabrini, with Morning Glory. I'm Brian Patrick along with Gloria Purvis.
Buenos dias. Good morning.
Our producer is Elisa Murphy, and our godly counsel, the Dean of the Dominican House of Studies, Father Thomas Petrie.
We have on the phone with us this morning Sohrab Ahmari, who is a journalist, but he is also really writing a lot on euthanasia and the challenge of euthanasia to Europe. He's written this great article in Commentary Magazine about a lawsuit that is moving forward, or we hope is moving forward, a legal challenge to the European culture of death, the rights of the survived. Sohrab, great to have you this morning. Thanks for getting up with us.
Good morning, Father, and everyone. Mm-hmm.
So let's just set up the case really quickly. The issue here is that there is a gentleman, Tom Mortier, I guess I'm sure that's how to pronounce his last name, that in 2012 his mother consented or asked to be euthanized, and he was not informed the day it happened, and she was taken to the Free University of Brussels, where Dr. De Stelmans, who is really Belgium's leading euthanasia proponent, gave her a lethal injection. But the interesting thing is she was 64. She was in good physical health. So how was it that she was able to be euthanized?
Well, Father, the euthanasia law in Belgium, which was enacted in 2002, before it was enacted, its proponents insisted that, A, it would be rare, and it would only be used in terminal cases, meaning people who are already dying and could no longer bear the anguish associated with their conditions, and that it would only be in physical terminal cases. But as it's happened steadily since it was enacted, the number of cases has increased. In the first year of legalization, there were only 235. Now the official number is
about 2,000 or 2% of all deaths in Belgium.
It's amazing.
Although there's data that suggests it could be even higher, it could be twice that, because it's only a self-reporting mechanism, and there's really rigorous studies showing that it might be actually 4% of deaths, meaning many doctors aren't reporting all the euthanasias they perform. And alongside that, the categories of people who qualify for euthanasia has steadily expanded to non-terminal, non-physical conditions. So Dr. Distelman, in addition to Tom Mortier's mother, has euthanized, for example, a woman who had had a female-to-male sex change operation, and then she felt that she looked like a monster in the mirror, and so he euthanized her.
That's
he
amazing.
Euthanized a pair of twins who were blind. They were always deaf, but when they found out they were also going blind, they felt they had nothing to live for. So he euthanized both of them a few years ago. So this is the context in which Tom's case comes up.
And Tom Mortier's mother was, if I understand your article correctly, she was suffering from depression, which is not an incurable disease.
Absolutely. In fact, it's infamously an episodic illness. And there's all sorts of signs through her life where there were moments in which she felt like she was making progress. Tom had three children. When each of her children, his children were born, the grandmother was happy and delighted, and she had up moments. When she found a new boyfriend or a new life partner, she had up moments. And she kept a diary every day for various points in her life in which she colored like how she was feeling that day in the morning. Some days it was black, but some other days it wasn't black. So clearly this is an episodic illness. And so to euthanize someone for that is barbarous. And then to do it without informing his children ahead of time, her children ahead of time, that it was going to happen, are the facts of this case that make it so compelling and outrageous.
So, Rob, does Belgium not have a sort of peer verification? You know, so a single doctor can prescribe this, and there's not a review of an incident?
Well, there is an institution, a government-charged institution that's supposed to review euthanasias after the fact. It's called the Federal Control and Evaluation
Committee.
But it's
after the fact, I guess, huh?
It's after the fact, and amazingly, Wim Distelman has been, since the founding of the committee, its chairman. So the leading euthanasia provider in Belgium is also in charge of the oversight body.
No conflict of interest there, huh?
That's terrible.
You know, the thing...
Well,
I was going to say the thing that really gets me the most on this is that they are putting euthanasia in the category as a medical treatment for certain conditions. And that's what's very frightening to me is they're saying that this is an acceptable treatment for someone with depression or someone who's unhappy with whatever it is. And it's, to me, again, something that's deforming medicine, what medicine is supposed to really do. And given that, I mean, so why should we, some people say, oh, that's happening over in Europe, that's not going to happen here. So why should our listeners be concerned about what's happening in Belgium?
Well, because the right to death movement, or the death with dignity movement, quote unquote, I don't see anything dignified about what happens in these clinics. But this movement is incredibly aggressive. They're aware that what they need to do first, certainly in the United States, where we do have assisted suicide in five states, but they are aware that before they want to change the law further, they need to win over the culture. Mm-hmm. And so you certainly saw it happening in Europe, where in the 1970s and 80s, you had all these documentaries about people dying or suffering from diseases and could not take their own lives. And it softened the culture so that then they could come in and change the law. So once they win the culture, the legislative battle becomes easy, or the litigation battle. So it's very important to be alert that that's what's going to happen. And to your point, Gloria, I think it reminds me of, the Nazi phrase. They had a phrase called, there were certain lives that were categorized as lives unworthy of life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, this is not systematic genocide,
the
P4 program of the Nazis. But nevertheless, the message the law is sending by having these ultra-lax euthanasia laws is that certain lives just aren't worth living. And gradually, the great principle of equal protection under law becomes eroded, and people in especially societies that have mostly publicly funded healthcare, people with disabilities, people with illnesses, old people begin to feel subtle pressure that, you know,
that's right.
It's kind of a burden on the system.
It's a moral pressure. Exactly. That's right. You know, St. John Paul II predicted all of this in his encyclical Evangelium Vitae. So, Rabbi, I know that Mortier's case is going or has been appealed to the European Convention on Human Rights, which requires states to protect everyone's right to life. So we're going to hope that case goes forward. Thanks for writing on this. Thanks for bringing light to us. Thanks for being with us this morning on Morning Glory.
Thank you, Father.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's 5 till now, and Father will take us through today's gospel from the 17th chapter of St. Luke, where Jesus talks about sin. Yeah, nobody wants to hear about sin, but Jesus addresses it specifically right after we check with Elisa for some Catholic chatter.
Regarding our conversation with Sarab Amari on euthanasia and the culture of death in Europe, we've heard from Halten Den Glaben this morning via Twitter, and he really is concerned about how these laws affect the elderly community. And we've heard from Ali this morning, Father and Gloria, on the topic of authentic Christmas music, and she just hopes she won't hear Grandma Got Run Over by the Reindeer again this year.
That is inevitable. That no. I am afraid to say.
Well, at least not at Mass. We don't want to hear that at Mass. Please. No.
I'd rather not hear it at all.
Or then there's the Rudolph got run over by my grandma.
Oh, no.
So, Father, picture this, a millstone tied around your neck and you're thrown into the sea. You've got no chance, and Jesus says it'd be better to do that than to draw a child into sin.
That's exactly right. He says things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one through whom they occur, that it would be better to be thrown into the sea with a millstone around your neck. He also says in today that if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him, and if he wrongs you seven times a day and returns to you, says, I'm sorry, forgive him. You know, I don't want to be the person, we should never want to be the persons that is a cause for other people to sin, whether that is by how we act, by what we say, or what we encourage.
Well, you have edified us a great deal today, Father, as you always do. Thank you for coming in on a Monday.
God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Monsignor Pope is enjoying his travels. Gloria, tomorrow's Tuesday. We'll see you then.
Yeah, and we have another Dominican tomorrow. Father Dominic Legg will be coming in to be our godly counsel.
And Elisa, tell us about our guests in the morning.
We've got Brian Inglewood on Force for Good, the Catholic Guide to Business Integrity, and Dr. Matthew Bunsen.
Matthew's going to talk about the USCCB meeting that's going on in Baltimore, their conference. Let's pray together as we end the show for today and invite you to join us again tomorrow. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
If you were lifted up by today's Morning Glory, share it with another today, and we'll see you in the morning.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.